Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up!
It'll be a big weekend in African football, with the spotlight shining on some high-profile friendly matches, as well as first-round 2018 World Cup qualifiers. In World Cup qualifying results Friday, Niger defeated Somalia 2-0 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Moussa Mazou scored 2 second-half goals for Niger, the second off a penalty kick in the 62nd minute. The game was played in Ethiopia because of the unstable security situation in Somalia. In neighboring Djibouti Friday, Swaziland got off to a great start in its World Cup qualifying campaign. The Swazis scored a lopsided 6-0 road victory over Djibouti. And I think based on that rousing result, it's safe to say the Swazis will be advancing to the second round after the return leg is played in Swaziland October 13th. In World Cup qualifying results from Thursday, Liberia and visiting Guinea-Bissau drew 1-1 in Monrovia. South Sudan and visiting Mauritania also drew 1-1 in Juba. That match resumed on Thursday after heavy rains in Juba Wednesday forced the game to be stopped after only 10 minutes. And Sao Tome and Principe defeated visiting Ethiopia 1-0. Meanwhile, 6 more qualifying matches for the 2018 World Cup in Russia are scheduled this weekend in Africa. Our Daybreak Africa sportsman Marco Uma runs down the fixtures for us.
Tomorrow Saturday, Eritrea hosts Botswana, Chad faces Sierra Leone, and the Central African Republic play Madagascar on Sunday. Malawi hosts Tanzania, Ethiopia engage Sao Tome and Principe, and Kenya play Mauritius. Elsewhere, the Democratic Republic of Congo's Leopards beat Nigeria's Super Eagles 2-0 in Vize, some 100 kilometers southeast of the Belgian capital, Brussels, on Thursday. Meanwhile, African champions Ivory Coast play hosts Morocco in a friendly match in Agadir today, Friday. Algeria play Guinea, Burkina Faso encounter Mali, and Tunisia face Gabon. On Sunday, Egypt engage Zambia as Nigeria encounter Cameroon. I'm Mark Omer in Johannesburg, South Africa, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Thanks, Mark, and I'm wishing you a sporty weekend, too.
Hi, I'm Shegu Adeyemin, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on!
This is Larry Zamude, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 18.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja, Nigeria. Let's talk to you about Brilla FM. It's Nigeria's only sports station. Of course, we partner the VOA.
VOA!
And so you can listen to Sunny Side of Sports on 18.9, Brilla FM, Lagos and Abuja. Keep listening, Africa, and enjoy Sunny Side of Sports on Brilla.
Thanks, Dr. Larry. In addition to sports radio, 88.9 Brilla FM stations in Lagos and Abuja, Dr. Larry also has stations in Kaduna and Onitsha, Nigeria. We're delighted to be your partner, Dr. Larry, so keep it sporty.
The Voice of America, VOA.
And I know Dr. Larry and my friends at Brilla will be keeping things sporty for me when I visit them next week in Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital. In more African football news, Ghana will go against Canada at RFK Stadium here in Washington, October 13th, in another international friendly match. Reporter Oral Ofori says it's the first time the teams have met in 30 years.
This game will be the first time both nations are meeting each other on the soccer field after they last played in a friendly encounter 3 decades ago when in 1985, Canada scored a 2-1 victory against Ghana in what was then known as the President's Cup in South Korea. Ghanaians in the American diaspora are very excited about this encounter, with one U.S.-based local Ghanaian language media already urging fans to come out in their numbers to support the Black Stars.
Ghana, 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 I say, yeah! Ghana for more America and Canada. Yes, so yes, I go! Top Global LLC. And the Ghana Black Stars by USA, and Ghana versus Canada.
That was an announcement on the Ghanaian radio station in the Ghanaian language of Twi. The station is run by Ghanaians living in the state of Virginia in the USA. The announcement was expressing excitement about the game and urging all to attend, while at the same time thanking Top Global LLC for helping make it a reality. Top Global LLC is the sports management and promotion company responsible for organizing this match. The company, which received the blessings of both the Canada and Ghana soccer authorities, say the October 13th game at the RFK Stadium has taken months to realize. According to Reverend Lord Asante Buedu, the CEO of Top Global LLC, the October break in the FIFA window is what finally allowed for everything to fall in place for this game.
We first started at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. But unfortunately, the schedule, because we couldn't put this match on without going with the FIFA scheduling, so coordinating from abroad, because you have to know the national team of Ghana has so many players, about 11 or 12 players are from different clubs. Negotiating with getting them down here was a little bit tough, but all of them are coming. But they also then we have to deal with the schedule as well. And also, thirdly, we have to deal with the FIFA schedule. All three of them have to be coordinated and be in the same pace. But very fortunate, we were blessed to have the RFK Stadium, which has an open schedule for us to play the game there.
Both nations will use this game as a warm-up as they prepare for their respective qualifiers of the next FIFA World Cup to be held in Russia in 2018. This is Oral Ofori reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us again this evening on the Sunny Side of Sports for a look at recent African goal-scoring highlights in Europe.
Yes, Sonny, the goals continue to flow, and instead of starting in England, I'm going to start in Germany, and you've guessed it, it's Mr. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Borussia Dortmund. Now, on the previous Sunnyside of Sport show, we highlighted the fact that he had scored in 7 consecutive matches since the start of the Bundesliga season. And yes, all you listeners, you've got it right. It's now 8 consecutive matches. A truly remarkable, amazing, awesome achievement. The bad news for Aubameyang and his Borussia Dortmund teammates was his goal in the end didn't really matter. They suffered a 5-1 hiding at the champion club, Bayern Munich. But nevertheless, for Aubameyang, a great personal achievement. 8 consecutive league matches, and he has scored in each one of them. In fact, he scored 2 goals in 2 of them. And what price now, Sonny, that he'll make it 9 out of 9 in the foreseeable future? But what is really amazing is, despite this achievement, the preliminary list has been announced for the Ballon d'Or, which is the World Footballer of the Year. Over 50 names. And yet Aubameyang doesn't feature on it. There are 4 Africans: Yaya Toure of Manchester City, very predictable choice; Wilfred Bonny, also of Manchester City, and also a member of the Ivory Coast team that won the Cup of Nations this year. Then you've got Christian Atsu, and I can hear some people saying, "Christian who?" Well, he's the Ghanaian who won the 2015 Cup of Nations Player of the Tournament, and he did well in that tournament, and he scored the best goal. But really, he's made no impression since. He's on loan from Chelsea to Bournemouth at the moment, and he's not even figuring in the starting lineup. The other Ghanaian in the preliminary list, I think, is well deserved of his place. That's Andre Ayew. He's doing very well since moving from France to Swansea City. I've no problems with Atsu, Sonny, but I've got a big problem with the fact that Aubameyang, who's been a very consistent scorer, not just this season, but last season, and he's also the star of the Gabonese team. I think he was worthy of a place in that preliminary list. Talking about the English Premier League, I'm pleased to report plenty of African goals. Sadio Mane, there's another player who's doing consistently well. He's the Senegalese striker. He scored one goal and created another in one of the real shocks of the weekend. Southampton going to Chelsea, the defending champions, and winning by 3-1. Another player who's scoring consistently is Odion Ighalo. He's the Nigerian who plays for Watford. And those goals, Sonny, we suggested on the Voice of America, meant he should be getting a national team call-up. And lo and behold, that's exactly what's happened. He's been called up for those Nigerian friendlies against DR Congo and Cameroon. His 5th league goal of the season came for Watford in a 1-1 draw at fellow promoted club Bournemouth. Koyanik Balassi of Crystal Palace, a very timely goal. It was his first since New Year's Day 2013. So a long overdue goal, and just to make it a double celebration, Crystal Palace beat West Bromwich Albion by 2-0. A name that we don't often mention on the Sunny Side of Sport when it comes to African scorers in England is Jeff Schlupp. He plays for Leicester City. He's normally a defender, which probably explains that lack of goals. But Leicester gambled. They decided to move him up to midfield. And that gamble paid rich dividends because he scored a winning goal for Leicester in a 2-1 win at Norwich City. And the last African scorer in the Premier League was Andre Ayew, his 4th of the season, as Swansea drew 2-2 with Spurs. So in the last couple of weeks, Sonny, an awful lot of African goal scorers in the English Premier League, and that's very encouraging news indeed.
David, getting back to that Ballon d'Or trophy, why do you think Aubameyang was omitted from that preliminary list?
Sonny, I wish I knew. I think he's, I would have him in there ahead of Atsu. I acknowledge the fact that Atsu had a good Cup of Nations. But the Cup of Nations last for 3 weeks, and I think we're talking about consistency here. And last season, Aubameyang scored an awful lot of goals also for Borussia Dortmund. But I, at the moment, Sonny, I would put the Bundesliga right up there, arguably even the 3rd top league in Europe. I think there's no doubt that the La Liga in Spain and the Premier League in England are the top 2. I think the Bundesliga is pushing the Italian first division hard now to be maybe recognized as the 3rd biggest league in Europe. And for a player to score on 8 consecutive weekends against some of the best defenses in Europe, I think that's a truly remarkable achievement. And I'm not suggesting for a minute that Aubameyang is going to win the Ballon d'Or. I guess when you look at that, you always have to look at a couple of names, namely Ronaldo and Messi. But nevertheless, Sonny, if you name 50-plus players in Europe, I would have Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang among that 50, that's for sure.
David, let's stay in Europe now. And how about a look at the tables in England and Spain?
Right, Sonny, let's go to England first. Manchester City are out in front with 18 points. Now, they started like a house on fire, 5 wins in a row. Then they suffered 2 consecutive defeats. But they've hammered Newcastle United 6-1. And they're back on top partly because Arsenal did them a huge favor. Manchester United went to the Emirates Stadium as the league leaders, but they suffered a 3-0 drubbing, 3 goals, in fact, in the first half of the first half, ended any chances United had of staying on top. And I suppose for Manchester City supporters, that's doubly satisfying. Their team on top and Manchester United down to third place. They're behind Arsenal on goal difference. So you've got Man City with 18 points, Arsenal and Man United with 16 each. And then another big surprise, Crystal Palace, fourth, Sonny, with 15 points. Yet another surprise, West Ham United, next with 14 points. And then you've got Everton with 13 alongside Tottenham. Southampton and Liverpool with 12 points each. And Liverpool, they sacked their manager, Brendan Rodgers. He'd been in charge for just over 3 years. At the other end of the table, Sonny, Newcastle bottom with 3 points on goal difference from Sunderland, also with 3 points, and Aston Villa have got 4 points. And even this early in the season, with just 8 rounds played, I've got a hunch that those clubs are not staying very far up the table. Newcastle were very lucky to avoid relegation last year. Sunderland seem to be perennial strugglers, always just managing to dodge the drop. And Villa, I just don't know if they've got enough star quality in their squad. So those three teams, Villa, Sunderland and Newcastle, I feel they're in for a long, hard season. Turning to Spain, Sonny, and here we got a real surprise early in the season with Villarreal, top of the table after 7 rounds with 16 points. That's normally a place you expect to be occupied either by Real Madrid or Barcelona. Real Madrid are second with 15 points, ahead of Celta Vigo, another surprise, also with 15 points. And Barcelona, they've got 15 points too, but already this season, in 7 matches, they have lost 2. And after Barcelona come Atletico Madrid with 13 points, followed by Deportivo La Coruña and Eibar with 12 each. But I'm just wondering, Sonny, when last did Real Madrid or Barcelona not top the Spanish La Liga? It seems like they're permanent occupants of that top place. So it's a big surprise so far. Villarreal out in front. But, of course, it's early days, 7 rounds played. And I've got a hunch that come the end of the season, it's more likely to be Real or Barca who are occupying that top spot.
Early days indeed, David. And I guess Messi coming back from his knee surgery will also have a big impact on Barca's chances.
Definitely, Sonny. I really wish Villarreal all the best. And what you want in Spain is, I think you want other challengers. I mean, we saw this 2 years ago when Atletico Madrid won the title. I don't think it's good for business that Barcelona and Real are totally dominant. I see other challengers being a healthy thing. Valencia, a side who did well last year, they haven't started particularly well, only 9 points so far. Sevilla, a team that often do well in Europe, they're even a point worse off. They've got 8 points. But nevertheless, Sonny, if I was a betting man, I would say come the end of the season, it's going to be a battle, a shootout between Real Madrid and Barcelona. They've just got so many good players, Sonny, that the cream is inevitably going to come to the top.
The cream will rise to the top, David. And our African football guru, David Legg, will have more sweet and soccerlicious analysis in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Sule Terawali. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it! We'll be right back. On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight at 1800 UTC this evening, immediately following the Sunny Side of Sports. Here in the United States, the Major League Baseball playoffs began earlier this week, a sure sign that October is in full swing. More than a few Major League players got their start playing Little League Baseball. VOA's Adam Phillips attended a Little League game here in Washington, and he has this feature for us.
The sun shone warm on the Marlins and the Yankees, two Little League teams of eight-year-olds, as they stood on the new springtime grass before their baseball game and sang their sport's unofficial theme song. The game gets underway with the Marlins playing offense, hoping to score. While they wait their turn to bat, a few players explain what they like about baseball.
My favorite thing about the game is that you get to bat and you can go to World Series and get trophies.
I like to play it because there's like strategy in it, and I like strategy games.
What would you tell a kid far away about baseball?
Well, you play with a bat and gloves and a ball. Well, you have to score runs. You've got to see who can get the most runs.
When you get to know the rules, it's really fun.
What's the most fun about it?
Probably either when you're up at bat or when you just...
What just happened?
Peter, he's on my team, he just hit the ball and someone caught it.
When you catch a ball, then the batter's out. So all those people going, oh man, were our team members.
So it's a kind of an emotional game, huh?
Yeah. When the ball comes, you miss it, you're sad. Or if you catch it, you're joyful and you're happy and wonderful.
Happy and wonderful is in fact just how a brother and sister pair on the opposing team felt after they caught that ball.
And that is what I call pride. You don't care if you're losing by 11 points. You're just wonderful. You feel great.
Before long, fortunes have been reversed. Three Marlins have managed to hit the ball and are on base when...
What just happened?
Ben just got a home run. Yeah. Good job, Ben.
So tell me, Ben, how do you feel right now? What did you do?
I did a grand slam. That means that you make 4 points.
So that was a really good hit, huh?
Yeah.
One of the boys, Ben, batted home, gulped some water, and recounts his triumph.
I was at third base, and then they said, go, go, go. So I ran home, and I didn't get out.
You feel proud?
Yes.
So does Dan Gross, the Marlins team coach and a Little League parent.
It looks pretty remarkable. I guess, you know, all this practicing and playing is paying off because the kids are batting magnificently now. And at the beginning of the season, it wasn't so good. But as always happens every season, not only do they get the rust out, but they grow and they improve. And it's very gratifying.
The Yankees are now losing to the Marlins by several points.
You were standing straight up. You weren't down and ready. Be down and ready. Watch the ball from the pitcher's hands.
Eric Moore coaches both the Yankees, where his eight-year-old son is at work in the shortstop position, and the Braves, which his five-year-old plays for.
It's a great game to learn and enjoy and spend a life with. You don't have to be a super athlete. It's a skill game. So if you learn the skills, catching, throwing, hitting, and running, you can compete with the best of them. And that's why I like it. The underdog has a chance, always.
Is that the American aspect?
That is the American aspect. America's all about the underdog. I mean, as long as they're working hard and they're learning as much as they can, there's nothing that can stop them.
Soon, the Yankees get their chance to bat and manage to score several runs themselves. Karen Baldy is a parent.
And you try and stay detached, but the other day, my daughter came up. The bases were loaded, and she whacked that ball really hard, and we watched it, and it was a legitimate good hard hit, and it was marvelous. It was thrilling. It was embarrassingly wonderful to experience your child doing something like that. I would have cheered that hard for anyone on the team. I just would have, but it was my girl, and it was just great.
Ready, guys?
2, 4, 6, 8. We appreciate
Yankees! An hour and a half after it began, the Yankee-Marlins game is over, and the Marlins have won.
Good game, guys. Way to play. Way to hit, guys.
Good game.
While the two teams congratulate each other in a little league ritual of good sportsmanship, one Yankee cheers himself up with a memory from the previous Saturday.
And I hit the ball through the playground. I hit it in the air into the outfield, and then it went rolling in the playground, and I went around the bases as hard as I can, and I got a triple. It was like my first real important play of my life, and I really want to be in the big league, so I think it will be a good inspiration on me.
At the Yankee Marlins Little League game in Cleveland Park in Washington, D.C., this is Adam Phillips reporting.
Won't take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Find me some peanuts, I'll buy you crackers. As long as you count my outs when I come up to bat. Oh, now it's root, 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 root for Boston. Win or lose, lose or win, we're all the same. Oh, won't you please take me out to the old.
Take me out to the ball game. And thanks to VOA's Adam Phillips for that Little League Baseball feature. In women's professional basketball, the WNBA Finals resume later Friday night in Indianapolis, Indiana. The Indiana Fever will host the Minnesota Lynx in Game 3 of the Best of 5 Championship Series, which is tied at 1-1. Our VOA basketball fans will remember, this is a rematch of the 2012 WNBA Finals, which Indiana won 3-1. In Game 2 Tuesday night, Minnesota evened the series with a 77-71 victory at home. Center Sylvia Fowles led Minnesota with a game-high 21 points and 9 rebounds. Guard Breanne January tallied a team-high 17 points for Indiana. The Fever is bidding for its second WNBA trophy after that title in 2012, while the Lynx is looking to win its third WNBA championship after earlier titles in 2011 and 2013. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali for his fine work behind the glass and on the boards. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.